content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
That's your problem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much. We have a great show lined up for you today. I'd like to thank Juan Carlos here, our producer, for keeping it all together. And all, don't forget, you can always find us here every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. on BBS Radio, Anchor FM, and iTunes, just to name a few, a very, very few. So listen, also, if you're an expert or an authority or have an amazing personal story that revolves around the supernatural, we definitely want to know about it. Just go to spirituallyraw.com, give us your information, and one of us will get back with you. And April, this is your notes right here because it says April after it, so it's
I'm saying that.
There you go.
Make sure to follow us everybody on Facebook at Spiritually Raw, and make sure to join our Facebook group, Secrets to Radio Riches. You're only one show away.
That's right, you are. So we got a jam-packed show. Yeah,
every day.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
We have three amazing guests today. Ariane Thomas. And she is part Cherokee by heritage and an international healer, ceremonialist, and practices ancestral lineage clearing and shamanic healing. That's going to be really cool. We also have Sharon Green. She has been given a spiritual assignment by Yahweh to tell the world about the true identity of the Africans of the diaspora. But first, we have Reverend Scott J. Pollock. Prior to opening the coolest wedding chapel in Las Vegas, Reverend Pollock Chapels at the Pond, Scott spent 10-plus years working the world's most gifted psychics, mediums, and healers. And he also learned the true meaning of spirituality while he was doing that. The man everyone once knew as Scott J. Pollock became known as Reverend Scott J. Pollock. His years of working with the psychics really opened his mind, his body, and his soul to the endless possibilities of our world. Welcome, Reverend Scott Pollock.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here. This is great. So the coolest wedding chapel in Vegas. Do tell.
Well, you know what? I had a chance to spend a couple years here in Vegas as a reverend, doing weddings at some of the different places. And I kind of learned what I thought they were doing right, what I thought they were doing wrong, and things like that. And I opened up my own chapel, and we put a certain flair into it. In my personal opinion, I think weddings in Las Vegas, they lost that flair that they had back in the 80s and the 70s with like things like the Brat Pack and just the showgirl feel to it. And it became very much just a common wedding people were having. So I kind of went, when I opened my own chapel, I went in a different direction. I have myself and eight female reverends who all come from very different backgrounds of singing, dancing, and basic entertainment backgrounds. So in the middle of a ceremony here, you could be doing something and all of a sudden someone's going to break out into a show tune for you. And on top of that, we hired some electric violinists who are some stars here in Vegas. And instead of the stereotypical here comes the bride, we have some ladies here who can really bring down the house and rock out some songs for people and really make it that Las Vegas feeling of a wedding that you should have when you come here.
That does sound like the coolest place in Vegas.
It's all fun. You know, we do helicopter weddings, all sorts of really cool things here.
Awesome. How did you come up with this vision?
You worked with psychics for 10 years.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Well, a lot of them led me in a direction for this, but just from being out here and being in the different casinos, you kind of get a feeling of what people, when I did weddings, I realized what they were missing in that wedding, like the certain feeling or a certain something that hotel or that chapel lacked. And I wanted to fill in all the voids for people. One thing to me, it became evident, is it became more about money in Las Vegas for a lot of places and less about the couple. And for me, it's more about my couple. I would rather see them spend less on the wedding and more on the happily ever after, where it should be. And a lot of people here see it the other way. They'd rather see you spend all your money there and have nothing left for the happily ever after. So I kind of went a different direction. And, you know, the couples that walk through our door, they become family to us. They're not just numbers or names. We literally become friends. I mean, I have some couples that soon after their weddings here in Vegas, we were going out to dinner and to different places and shows together because we became friends. So we have a whole different atmosphere here. You feel like you were supposed to be here when you walk through our doors. That's the best way to put it.
It sounds like so much fun.
When you were with
Wait a minute, you know what I forgot to tell you,
what?
Jay? You know, the name of his business is Chapels at the Pawn. He's in the same strip center as the famous show, Pawn Stars.
The one. Yeah.
Yeah, we share a parking lot. It's funny you say that. That's kind of how all this came together one night is right in this plaza, the owner of Pawn Stars, Rick Harrison, he has a barbecue restaurant too. And one night I was coming back from a wedding at the Palms and I just happened to stop here just to have dinner. And Rick was working behind the bar that night. And him and I started a conversation. Then everyone kept talking to us like we were brothers because we look so much alike. We have that goatee bald head thing going on together. So a lot of people just associated us as brothers and I started laughing. But it put in my mind, gosh, you know, I should have a chapel maybe in this location. And it just happened he had some space available. And, you know, a week later, I had signed the paperwork and I was getting ready to move my chapel into here. It's such a great location. We're 0.4 miles away from the marriage bureau. So people can literally walk and get a license and come back to me within 20 minutes.
Sounds like it was meant to be.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I kind of ran all this by my team of psychics and mediums before I signed my paperwork just to get the clearance that I needed. And everyone gave it 2 thumbs up, so it worked out in my favor.
Did they all want a gig? You know, when you were like, hey, if you do this, can you give us a gig in here kind of thing?
No, but it's funny because that's one of the plans I had when I initially moved to Las Vegas is I really want a stage show for my psychics and my mediums. I see what's out there right now in the world, and I see what my ladies have to offer, and I just think what my ladies have to offer is something totally different than what's out there right now, and I would love to see them have a show here. To me, it's all about healing, and if you have a show, you're in front of a larger crowd, and the more people you have in front of you, the more people you can heal at one time, and to me, that's kind of the whole idea with these ladies is I see their gift, I see how amazing they are, and I want to share them with the world instead of just sharing them with one-on-one people. I want them in front of larger groups.
So these, when you were working with these 10 psychics, mediums, healers, so call it if you would, what was your role with them?
I was kind of like their publicist. I did like their day-to-day activities, everything from handling all the phone calls to booking appearances, working on back-end television shows for them and things of that nature. Basically finding different clientele in different states. When I started doing this, I was in New York, and within the first month, I was taking my medium who was in New York to California. We were at the Playboy Mansion doing events and things of that nature. So I always had the belief that you put these ladies in front of the right type of crowd and it'll just automatically grow for them. And it kind of worked for 15 years. And I stepped away from that business a few years ago when one of the ladies who I really loved, her name was Bernice Gold, and she passed away. And for me, it was at a time when I had just lost my mom too. So I had to really reevaluate life. Handling phone calls every day from people who most people that call a psychic or medium lost a loved one and they're looking for a healing process or to connect with that person. So for me, it was hard to heal my own self from my mom's passing, dealing with people every day who would call me and say they lost somebody and try to, you know, for me to block memories, they're always coming to the forefront with all these phone calls. So I took a little time, stepped away, and that's when I truly became a reverend and really focused on this for myself.
You know, it's so cool as you get to do, it sounds like what you really want to do and love to do. And obviously you've been, you know, you got blessed here by the gods here as far as being in the right location, right places and everything, the chapel gods right there. So, I mean, when you're out there, I mean, when you're out there doing these sermons, if you would, or marrying these people, do you feel like, you're channeling something? Is something flowing through you or how does that play out?
Oh, absolutely. In my main building, I have two chapels. One is called the Dream All Day Wedding Chapel, and one is actually called Chapel Diane, which I named after my mom. And I filled it with all the things that she truly loved in this world. So I always tell the couples that marry in this particular chapel that for the rest of their lives, they're going to have my mom watching over them and making sure they're okay. Again, I'm just a big believer that people that walk through my door were supposed to be here. They were supposed to be married in this facility. I don't need to do a lot of advertising. I don't need to do a lot of crazy things other people do because it just seems that the universe is bringing these people to me day by day, and I can't really complain about that.
What's the denomination? Or is there one?
Not really. My chapel, we developed something here called a friendship ceremony. So I have a ceremony where almost anybody can take part in if they don't want to do something that's legally binding. But when you look at a wedding chapel, like yesterday, for example, I started off with a couple from Montana, and then I ended the day with a couple from Brazil. So you never know where people are going to come from. It's just one of those beautiful things. And the Las Vegas wedding is very spontaneous for people, too. A lot of people are just walking down the boulevard. Boulevard, look at their loved one, and be like, let's get married today. So right. It's one of those things, if you give them a location that's warm, it's inviting, they feel like this is where they're supposed to be, they're always going to come to you. And again, we don't have hidden charges. I don't have anything that's hidden from people. It's not about their pocketbook. It's just about the love. And like you just mentioned, I don't consider this work. Every day I come here and get to do something that most people probably just dream of. It's fun every day. You see smiles, you see love, you see this is great reactions from people. And I don't know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
And everybody, I would imagine, is in a great mood.
So no appointments. Most of it's just pretty much walk-in?
A lot of it, I'd say 80% of our business is walk-in. We do about 20% appointments, but most of it is walk-in. A lot of people like to see what's out there in Vegas. They'll kind of go chapel to chapel and things like that. And again, in my personal opinion, I think a lot of them are very outdated. They've decided not to spend money on fixing it up, and they've spent the money on other things. And to me, I'd rather my couples walk in the door and see something that just they're always going to remember. And one thing that's really neat, too, is one of our weddings, we call it the Pawn Stars Experience. I'm the only chapel in this area which has an altar set up in the back of the pawn shop where they do the filming. And I offer weddings back there. And it's kind of neat because you never know who's going to show up. The very first wedding we did back there, Rick from Pawn Stars was back there, and he signed as their official wedding witness. So these people, it absolutely made their day. They never expected that. Chumlee, he's another one. He's always wandering around somewhere out here. And if you see Chumlee, he's always willing to take pictures with you and do some really cool things. So again, being in this particular area, you never know who's going to walk through the pawn shop. It's filled with celebrities and just very entertaining people every day. We get about 4,000 people every day that go to that pawn shop.
Wow. That's
an insane amount of traffic.
That's crazy.
A dream.
So tell me.
Yeah, go ahead.
You go. You're more interesting than me.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say it's interesting. Some mornings you get here at 8 o'clock and you'll see the line around the pawn shop already of 100 people deep just waiting to get in the doors to take a peek at it. And to me, it's just such a fascinating thing to be able to work here every day because I guess I take it for granted that I'm in this location and it's such a cool tourist attraction for people. But again, then you see the people that come through, they're just such a great breakdown of ethnicities and people from all around the world that no two conversations you ever have with people here are the same. They're always completely different. And it makes life really fun here.
Do you think this is duplicatable in another city like New Orleans or Miami, or is it really just specialized so super?
This is a Vegas thing.
Las Vegas, yeah.
I think it's strictly Las Vegas because how easily people can go and get their licenses, their marriage licenses, where other states, some have waiting periods of 24 hours. Some of them, have even longer waiting periods. But if some states were willing to adopt this, like the same rules as Las Vegas, like I always thought like Niagara Falls they got in New York would be a beautiful area if people could just spontaneously get married there. But unfortunately, like New York state laws, you have, I believe it's a 7-day waiting period once you get your marriage license. So right now, Las Vegas is the only one that we can do these amazing things in. So it's the place to be to get married spontaneously.
Oh, is that right? So Las Vegas is the only state that allows you to be like walk in, get a license, and you're in and out in whatever minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're from another country. If you're from another country, you can walk in with your passports, go through the paperwork, where other states, it's a tedious process. I mean, Las Vegas is tedious, don't get me wrong, but they've just done it for so long. They know exactly what they're doing, how to make the system work, where I think other states, if you started this process, the first couple years would certainly be a learning curve, and especially with marriage licenses, going to the right people and things like that. It's a system you really have to have developed to make it work for you.
And you wouldn't just have that real on-time vibe, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just like yeah.
No, you don't. Like in Vegas, like New Year's Eve, my last wedding on New Year's Eve was at 11:55 p.m. I had a couple that wanted to start in 2019 and end in 2020. So you never know when weddings are going to happen. We've gotten calls at 3 a.m. from people. Hey, we want to get married. Are you available? Sure. Why not? Let's do it. So we'll never say no to anybody who wants to get married.
Is yours a 24-hour thing?
Right now we are not. We only have a license to be open till midnight. It's a weird rule in Las Vegas. You have to be grandfathered into, but we're working on getting a 24-hour license because I'd like to have a 24-hour drive-through, kind of like a little window people can come up to at night in their vehicles, and within 5 minutes they can drive away as husband and wife.
That's a trip.
Do you? That's awesome, Scott. Do you have like the people there that stand up for the people kind of thing? Like, if they come in like a stand-in maid of honor, stand-in best man kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of my other reverends will always be here. One thing I always tell people is don't spend money on photography in Las Vegas. If you're going to get married in Las Vegas, they're going to charge you between $250 and $375 for a photographer. Where when you look at your cell phones, you could take just as good a quality on your phones nowadays that anyone can. And if you need an edit, spend $5 on an edit. Don't spend $275 on the whole package. And what I will do is I'll have my reverends in here. A lot of them will be shooting live video for the couples and things like that, or taking photos for them during the wedding. So we always make sure that people are here. It's always included. I just want to make sure the experience is the best experience they can have without any stress for them.
So are they like in their costumes? Because I know you have burlesque dancers, yoga instructors, or are they in some kind of like, you know, reverend outfit?
I give them the leniency to wear anything they want to from the 1920s to now. Of course, I have my limitations.
Fun.
No yoga pants, things of that nature. But I love to see them in costume. I love to see them in dress because it adds that certain flair to what you're doing here.
Absolutely.
It breaks the norm. I mean, growing up, I mean, I just picture the stereotypical 80-year-old man in church when you were there that you would stand up, sit down during the weddings. And that's what I didn't want the vibe to ever be here. I wanted people just to experience something fun and exciting. And having female reverence, you really do that because it adds just that, again, it adds that showgirl almost flair, if you will, that Las Vegas is lacking.
All right, hold tight, everybody. We got to take a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back more with Reverend Scott and find out how you can get a hold of him and get married there at in Vegas. So hang tight. We'll be right back. Warning: radical new information about the death of Jesus told by a present-day eyewitness. So bizarre, it may be very difficult to find agreement with, but in hopes will stir your curiosity and cause you to embark upon your own journey. My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Apollo spacecraft engineer Edward J. Evers tells what really happened to Jesus in his last hours here on Earth. How? Because Edward J. Evers was there in a past life. Discover statements never spoke before now, plus the workings of your conscious and subconscious minds, past lives, you as a spirit, UFOs, and so much more. Get your copy of My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Edward J. Evers at www.ejevers.com. Again, that's ejevers.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. We are with Reverend Scott J. Pollack in Las Vegas, a Las Vegas real reverend, everybody. This is pretty cool stuff. So listen, before you love and leave us, I wanted to give our audience an opportunity to find out how they can get a hold of you, you know, where they can find you and all. But I have one question for you first. What's up next for Reverend Scott J. Pollack? So what happens for you this next decade?
Well, you know what? I'm trying to roll with the tide and roll with the changes of things that are happening in Las Vegas. When I came here, I always told people I never came here to be a reverend. I came here to be the reverend. There's a reverend on every corner, and I never want to be known as a common person in this world. I always want to stand out and be something unique. And I have some particular goals that I want to take the chapel into. One thing in particular I'll just touch on before I go is one thing we've gotten into this year is cannabis-themed weddings, where you can have everything from an infused meal to a bouquet made of cannabis to cannabis instead of an open bar people have per se at a wedding. We actually have an open cannabis bar. Oh, and we're nice. Just kind of rolling with what's available. Like Las Vegas has made everything illegal, and I see what's happening in California and what's in Colorado. And my chapel isn't one to shy away from things. We're one to actually step right into things and take them head on. And
very
this is something that people have been asking for. And it's one of those things that, like, it's a whole different lifestyle. Yes, not everyone agrees with it, but, you know, it's one of those things. No one's ever going to agree with everything in life. So, but there's such a huge market for it. There's such wonderful people that have contacted me about doing these events, and we found some great locations in Las Vegas to host these at. So it's one of the things we're getting into right now. And again, for me, it's something very exciting. We're doing that, and we're also going to be bringing some really cool celebrities in this year to do some guest things at weddings, whether it's walk someone down an aisle or sing them a little song, give them away. We have some really cool things we're going to do with celebrities for charity this year, just to kind of set us apart as well.
Right on, right on. Hey, you know what, Reverend Scott, it's really great to chat with you, and congrats for living your dream. It's good for you. You must have done good in the last life. Hey, yeah, you're welcome. Hey, listen, so tell everybody how they find you, how they get a hold of you, all that good stuff. Websites, all that stuff.
Yeah, and feel free on social media. On Facebook, you find Reverend Scott J. Pollock or Chapels at the Pond. Instagram, Chapels at the Pond. And if you want to look at our website, it's just www.chapelsatthepond. Or our direct phone number is area code 702-499-5036. I pretty much answer every call that comes through. It's kind of one of those little control freak things about me. I just like to make sure all our customers are always happy when they call. So chances are when you call, I will be the one to answer the phone and say hello to you.
Give him a call. Blow up his phone. Looks like it already is anyway, though. But all right, Reverend Scott, thanks a lot. It's great to have you on. Good luck to you again.
Have a great day, guys.
Yep, take it easy. We'll see you next time. Yep. All right, who's up next?
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, isn't he?
Sounds awesome. Up next, we have Sharon Green. She's been given a spiritual assignment by Yahweh, or Heavenly Father, to tell the world about the true identity of the Africans of the diaspora.
All right,
yeah,
Sharon.
I'm not done yet, Jay. An expert on the subject, taken from the Bible's point of view. She's an author, artist, and media personality.
Now can I welcome her?
Now you can.
All right, Sharon, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, April and Jay, for inviting me to your show, Spiritually Raw.
Oh, you're absolutely well. Oh, by the way, everybody, Sharon just had a recent anniversary of the 18th anniversary of her birthday.
Yay,
here.
So, yeah. Happy birthday.
Yes, I did.
Anniversary of her 18th birthday. I said that backwards. Yeah, so I hope you got everything
like
you wish
number.
For. Yep, it's a good one. It's a good one. 16 kind of like a little weird, you know, makes you
Eight's
feel like
nice
kinda
and
like,
round.
Yeah, 18, yeah. 18, you know. So, all right, so Sharon Green is your earthly name. What is your spiritually God appointed name?
Well, my spiritual God appointed name is Empress Ima Sharon Yisrael. And Ima can actually be pronounced Eam, which I like better. So for short, Eam Shadow.
So how did you get it? So does someone actually appoint that to you, or do you actually have the privilege to be able to pick your own name?
Well, actually, my name came to me. My name Sharon. That was my earthly name, which means to promote growth. And to nourish and promote growth. Empress means to subdue nations. And Eam or Ima means mother, which I am a mother to Israel, which we will get into that a little later. And Yisrael means it encompasses both of the kingdoms, the North Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom of Israel. You know, there are 12 tribes, so they're divided into two kingdoms. So the Israel is for both the kingdoms.
When did the spiritual assignment happen? And how did it happen?
It started for me in 2012, around the time that the young boy was killed. Shucks, help me out. I don't have all my thoughts together here. Oh, my God. I'm just losing thought here.
That's okay.
You want us to play some Jeopardy music?
I can skip to another question. I have lots of them. I have about 23 of them, as a matter of fact.
All right, take the pressure off of Sharon. Go to the next one. Come on. What's wrong with you people?
Okay. How about this one? Because I have no idea what this means. What is the meaning of the Valley of the Dry Bones?
Valley of the Dry Bones mean all of the Israelite from times past, you know, from ancient times, up to the present, that have been scattered. You know, Yahweh scattered us outside the land when we were exiled. So all of those who have been scattered outside of the land of Israel and who have died in the world, you know, they will be resurrected. And, you know, the flesh will be put back on their bones. It's within scripture. You know, I believe that's Isaiah 37 that speaks of the valley of the dry bones, how, you know, all the bones will be raised and, you know, become a people again, you know, with flesh and life within their bones again.
Sure. And I got, okay, so should I be calling you Empress? I'm going to call you Empress.
Well, that's a title on my name.
Okay, I'm going to call you Empress. I like that. Empress. You deserve Empress. So let's call you Empress.
Oh, well,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So thank you. So let me ask you this. So first of all, here's a first question that I want to ask, one follow-up after that is, how did you receive the biblical knowledge about the true identity of Africans of the diaspora? And my follow-up question, which if you could answer first, is what exactly is the diaspora?
Okay, actually, how I got my assignment was, as I said, back in 2012, when Trayvon Martin, that's the young man I was speaking on, when he died and how he died, tragically how he died, you know, it just sent me into a tailspin. I was like, come on, Father, why? You know, why is it that Black people are killed because of the color of their skin and their hair? You know, what is it about us that we are singled out, you know, to be killed like this, and that we have no advocate, no one to stand for us? What is the meaning of this? So I kept crying and boohooing until, you know, God finally answered me. And when he did, he took me through the Bible. And first he took me to the Table of Nations in the back of the Bible, that map. And he showed me how the nations, you know, were peopled through Noah's son, the three sons, and where we fit in at, and how, you know, we were mislabeled as a people. You know, how we are told that we are Negroes from Canaan, you know, of Ham seed. And that's not who we are. But he began to show me how all of this information fell into place. Why we had to go through a punishment, which is because our ancestors chose to, you know, do what Yahweh told them not to do. He says that he would give them a land, you know, and that they had to abide by his rules. And, you know, they had to go into an agreement with them. And they didn't hold up their end of the agreement. So we transgress against our Heavenly Father's, you know, covenant that he made with us as a people. So we had to be punished. And that is where we find ourselves today. And that is what he has given me as to what has happened, why it has happened, and what is still yet to come. And I think you also asked me, what was your other question? I'm sorry.
What exactly is diaspora?
The diaspora is a people who have been exiled from their land and sent into the four corners of the world. And so they were sent out in large numbers. And the way that they were, you know, torn from their land, you know, and sent out into the world, that's what is considered a diaspora, a large movement of people who are displaced.
So what is the Bible prophecy that has been completed in the past 400 years?
Okay, that Bible prophecy goes at, from Genesis 15, 13 through 14. And you can also find, you know, the scripture in Acts 7, 6 through 7, which says that we will be sojourners, or strangers in a land that is not our own, and that we would be mistreated, abused, and enslaved for 400 years. And I'm pretty much paraphrasing this. Yahweh would bring us out. But when he does, you know, he would bring us out with great substance. He would visit those who put us in bondage before he brings us out, is what he says. And that he would bring us out with great substance, you know, pretty much like he did the first Egyptian captivity of 430 years.
So are you saying that that time period that you just referenced has passed, or we're in it right now?
Well, that time period has passed because if you research and you find out when Africans of the diaspora were brought into this country, it was 400 years ago, according to the time frame of August, either 19th or the 20th of 1619. So that is the start date of this curse and punishment that visited, you know, upon Black people or African Americans, as we are known, you know, in today's society. That was our start date for being here in America.
Empress, we will be right back. More with Empress. Just hang tight, everybody. We got to take a quick word from our sponsor.
All right.
Make 2020 an incredible year. Live the life you desire in your relationships, your career, your financial freedom, your health. It's all possible. Shari Hobson, an internationally known psychic counselor with over 20 years of experience as a karma and past life analyst, helps you move your dreams into reality. Her energy work in clearing and releasing blocks is being recognized by spiritual leaders and doctors from around the world. Clear your path to your purpose, passion, and potential. Book your session today at SherryHobson.com. That's SherryHobson.com. Shira Plotsky is an internationally sought-out psychic reader, psychic medium, and pet communicator. Clients from around the globe describe the experience as insightful, uplifting, extremely powerful, and very accurate. With 25 years' experience in tarot cards and numerology, her insight will reveal many things that will transform your life. Can't visit her in person? No problem. She's available on Skype. Non-believers and skeptics are always welcome. One session with Shira will change your life. Go to shirasplace.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. We are with Empress Sharon Green. So, Empress, I want to ask you a question, okay? You know, There's different titles here we hear, and I want to get everybody to wrap their head from your perspective. But why is the name of Black people always changing from Negro to Black to African American? And is there a proper or preferred way for rest of us to address that?
Well, actually, if you look at Psalms 83, it tells you that we are a hidden people. We are hidden in plain sight. So that is one reason why our name keeps changing, because that is truly not our name. Our name is actually a Hebrew people, and we are the true Israelite. But someone else has taken our place right now, you know, with that name. So we're misplaced, mislabeled, and hidden for such a time as this, until time comes into fruition, you know, until the sons of God are revealed. And that scripture also, you know, we are waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And when that happens, then the whole world will, you know, come to an understanding of who our true identity is.
When do you expect that to occur?
At the fullness of time. I don't have a timetable for that. All I can do is go according to prophecy. You know, when prophecy, you know, fulfills itself within the time God has allotted.
Well, what's brought you to this? I mean, for you personally, okay, what has brought you to this point of where, you know, you've really embraced this way of life, and this is what you're about, and seems to be your calling right now?
Because so many things that are happening to the Black race. Okay, like if you look at slavery is not even talked about, you know, in the United States. Our atrocities or adversities are never, you know, really highlighted, you know, getting to the bottom of America's sin. You know, this is something that really needs to be talked about because, you know, there are a lot of hurt and pain and different things. And then, you know, if you look at scripture, what is the second law to the first, the very first law that God has? The very first law is to love your Heavenly Father. You know, I'm paraphrasing again. Love God with your whole mind, body, soul, spirit, strength, and heart. And the second to that is to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, well, racism, you know, being prevalent as it is, how can you love your neighbor as yourself if you're looking at a person's skin and hair and deciding in your heart and mind, oh, I don't like that person because he's different from me? That's not fulfilling, you know, the second law to the first law. You have to love your neighbor. We have to come to some type of understanding and brotherhood, just as Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, preached and talked about, which is today, you know, we're celebrating his birthday.
That's right.
Yeah, isn't that a perfect day?
Well said.
Yes, it is.
So who else or what other organizations are teaching this?
Actually, no one is really teaching this per se. I didn't know any of this information until, you know, I just cried out and, you know, really, really stayed on God about what is this about our skin color and our hair. That it seems to me that the churches should be teaching this. If you research, then you will find out that Africans of the diaspora were sent around a tree of forgetfulness, you know, that we would not know our history, that we would not know our past, you know, that we would be, you know, spiritually blinded, you know, and that actually confirms what scripture says, how, you know, we don't know our past. We don't know who we truly are as a people. So all of this is scriptural, you know, and things that were supposed to happen according to scripture until a certain time is fulfilled.
You know, it's like criminal.
What's criminal?
It is.
Not knowing the truth.
And knowing, yeah, but she's fighting for the truth.
That's what I'm saying. She's, I mean, have you received positive feedback or backlash?
A little of both. You know, there are a lot of people that do want to see me prevail. I have a lot of people pushing me forward. Go, you know, keep doing it. Don't stop, you know, which I have no intentions of stopping. But then I do have those, you know, that don't want truth to come forth. They rather believe, you know, in the deception of who we are mislabeled to be.
All right.
You go, girl.
Right on. That is Empress Sharon Green, everybody. Empress Sharon Green. So, Empress, can you let everybody know how they can find out more about you, how they can support your cause, and anything else you'd like to tell us?
Yes, I do have a webpage that they can go to, and that's EmpressSharon.com. I also have a Facebook site, which is Facebook / EmpressSharon.com. I mean, Empress Sharon, I'm sorry. So you can find me on my website, again, is EmpressEmSharon.com.
All right, right on.
Awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And again, happy birthday to you.
And well, thank you.
Yeah, and I wish you a lot of luck and a lot of love on this journey here, you know, and, you know, that's great. You know, it's really admirable.
Oh,
it
takes a really strong woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's one question I do want to leave you guys with.
Yeah.
And that question is, okay, in the archaeological museums, you can go and see who the Israelite or the Hebrew people were back in ancient days. So I would like to know then if that is supposed to be the Hebrew Israelite people, you know, who are carved in stone from ancient times, BC times, then who are the people who are presenting themselves as Jewish or the Jews, you know, in modern days time in Israel? I would like an answer to that question.
Well, there you have it. She just threw it out there.
I think she just set herself up for another show to come back on here.
Good for you.
You did. All right, and for Sharon, yeah, we'll hopefully get the answer for you on that, and maybe have someone from the Jewish faith to come back in and help explain that, too. So anyway, lots of luck to you. Thank you. It's great having you on. So, okay, let's talk about our next guest.
Up next, we have Ariane Thomas. She studied metaphysics, spiritual teachings, and healing. She's an international healer, teacher, ceremonialist, speaker, hypnotherapist, and she's also an ordained non-denominational minister. She practices ancestral lineage clearing and shamanic healing. She works with you to make direct contact with ancestors in the past through shamanic journeys. She takes you through time and space, through hundreds or thousands of years, to connect with your ancestors through DNA. It's totally cool. She's the author of two amazing best-selling books, Healing Family Patterns, Ancestral Lineage Clearing for Personal Development, and Changing Our Genetic Patterns, Creating a New Reality for Ourselves and Future Generations.
All right, Ariane Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jay and April. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, we're so excited to have you.
Yeah,
this is a new one.
This is cool. I like this a lot. So how do you actually perform ancestral lineage clearings?
Well, I take my clients on journeys, and we go on a shamanic journey where we actually call to our ancestors with an intention, and then we go back through time and space to meet that ancestor that we intend to meet to heal those specific genetic traits in our family history that are causing problems in our present lives. And you know what? That ancestor always comes forward.
You must be really good, because let me tell you something. I'm already falling right into your trap.
You've got the best. You've got like the best, like, you know, voice ever. Like, I just feel like wanting to just either smoke something or drink something and just listen to you. That's great. She does, doesn't she?
I'm telling you, you could just like get sucked right in. I could see you probably, you must be excellent at what you do.
That's the best subliminal sale ever.
Yeah, no question about it.
Okay, anyway, enough about us. I'm sorry. Sorry about taking it away from me. So how is this, so when you go into this and you take him to this place, you talk about travel and time and space, like, do you physically go? Is it a conscious thing that goes there? Can you help us wrap our head?
Do you hypnotize them?
It is very similar to hypnotherapy. And thank you very much for the compliment on my voice, because a lot of it is about... Thank you. A lot of it is about training your voice so that you relax, you're in a calm alpha or theta state of mind. And no, you can't go back physically. Physics has shown that we actually can't time travel physically, but we can energetically. Physics has shown through mathematics that time is not linear. Time is not linear. We just need to see time as linear in order to keep our story straight.
That's a hard thing. Yeah, that's like a hard thing right there to wrap your mind around.
That time is linear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have to figure out that there was a day before today, and there's going to be a day after today that we call tomorrow. Otherwise, we get confused as to where we are in time and space.
So with that being said, and that's an interesting thought there, with that being said, do you think for us as a civilization, do you think it's best for us to just, you know, forget about yesterday, forget about tomorrow, and just really, you know,
stay in the present?
Well, let me give you kind of a longer answer to that. Yes, we must be fully present in the moment to live, to enjoy, to experience. But being in the moment also is about learning from the past and growing and expanding and incorporating everything that we've known. And when we're in the present,
we need to take a moment sometime in the present to dream about what we want to create in the future. Because if we're always in the present, when we plant our fields, we need to grow what we need to eat next season, right? So we have to be a little bit in the past to get the seeds for tomorrow, and we have to be a little bit in the future in order to make sure we have something to harvest. Does that make sense?
It does.
So here's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. If you know, when you take people through this journey, right, you know, thousands of years and connect, you know, connect to their ancestors' DNA, you may have said this and I may have missed it, but what is the purpose of that? So to connect to the ancestors' DNA, is it for them to say, this is how you do things differently, or I have a message for you, or what actually happens there?
Sure, Jay, because we kind of skipped that part. Okay, we jumped in the middle. When someone comes to me, they come to me for the purpose of clearing an issue of a family pattern that's disturbing their life. That basically has to do with the three main problems that we all kind of encounter sometime in our life, which has to do with money, health, or love, right?
Mm-hmm. So
isn't that what we all deal with?
Absolutely. So what you're saying is, if I'm understanding, let's say, for example, somebody has relationship issues constantly and they're repeating the same pattern, or they have alcoholic issues or drug issues, that maybe it's not just coming from them, it's coming from ancestral lineage.
Their DNA.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a specific example. I had a client come to me and she said, in at least the three generations that I know about, there has been no man in my family that has stayed long enough to raise children. My grandfather, my uncles, my father, all of the men in my family have either died, abandoned their wives, been alcoholics, been sailors, been traveling salesmen. They have always left the families so that there have been single mothers raising the children. I don't want to do this in my life. How can I clear this pattern from my life so that I can find a partner who is loving and committed and who will be in a long-lasting relationship with me?
Hmm. And then what happened?
Hold that thought. Tell us after the break. We'll be right back, everybody.
Welcome to the ancient future of food. I'm Sky Cubby, founder of Medicinal Foods, your source for the highest potency, highest quality medicinal mushrooms, tonic herbs, living greens, which my daughter actually loves, 10 veggies, 4 grasses, fermented. We have the coffee break, which is a coffee substitute that actually tastes like coffee, with chaga, reishi, and maca. And some amazing chocolate that has the Shaman's Blend, which gives it a mood-enhancing effect, and so much more. Check out our products at medicinal-foods.com.
If you're going to be successful online, you have to have a predictable system that takes the visitor from just being a visitor to a buyer. Do you need more leads, customers, and sales? If your books and services are not selling and your business is not growing, then you need a website audit to get to the root of the issue. Get a free 20-point website and social media audit report today.
All right. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much, and welcome back to Storytime with Ariane Thomas. That's great stuff, I tell you.
Well, no, I have to tell you real quick, though. We were on break, you know what Jay said? He goes, her voice is amazing. He goes, I felt like all I want to do is snuggle up with a big warm blanket and some gummy bears and just relax and go into...
I did. You can't tell me you people didn't.
Terrific.
Nobody else thought about that?
I wanted to light like a fire, an open fire.
Okay, so let's not take you off track. Let's let you finish your thought because I know we went to break.
Okay, so what I did with my client is we set out on a journey to meet the original ancestor that started this pattern of men leaving their wives and children.
Wow.
And we went back 400 years.
Now, when you say you met him, do you mean that you channeled him, he came to you? What exactly, how'd that happen?
No, we go back through the time stream into the past, and we met the original ancestor, who was a woman who was married, and her husband died, and she had to marry another man to keep the family business going. And she didn't like this man and treated him badly, and so he abandoned the family.
Huh. So and how do you clear that?
So, we all make mistakes sometimes in our lives. I mean, haven't we always done something and we went, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that.
For sure.
So, we ask the person's, the ancestor's soul, if they could go back and change that decision. And she did. Mm-hmm. And she accepted that new husband with love and compassion. And they made a successful, happy marriage where he was accepted into the family, and it shifted the energy in the family. So, to one of love and acceptance.
So, did I just hear you say you went back into the past and change what happened in the past, which has now changed the future for your client?
Right.
Yes.
That's
like some Hollywood stuff.
We've heard a lot of things, Jay, over the years, but this one is way up there.
This is a good one, though. Okay, so I just want to repeat. So when you say, we went back to four, how many ever years, and you met that ancestor, and now, how does that ancestor come through? Do they come through your client in a hypnotic state, or do they come through you, or how does that message translated there?
They come through the client. They come through the client. So the client meets the ancestor, and the energy is changed through the ancestor and through the client's connection. Now, you ask, how does this happen? And, you know, I was raised as kind of a left-brain person, and so when I started doing this, it's like, I'm not sure about this. So I turned to physics, and have you heard of probability theory?
I just did.
Okay, let me tell you about this. In physics, there is a concept called the multiverse, which says that there are multiple probabilities for every decision that we make. And, you know, the road less traveled? When we get to a fork in the road, we can take path A or path B. So, we choose to take path A. Well, in another universe, we have chosen to take path B. And in this universe, we're merrily rolling along on path A. But in another dimension, we live our lives along path B. And our lives continue in that dimension on that path. And so when I go back and connect you with your ancestor, we basically jump dimensions to dimension B.
So when you went back to the ancestor of 400 years and you changed it, were they living that life currently?
They were, your DNA path was along their first timeline. We switched timelines to the second timeline. And what we do is we retrieve the energy from that second timeline where they had a happy, fulfilling, and loving lifetime. Ah. And we bring the energy from that second timeline into the present. We set the energy from that timeline into the present DNA.
How do you and what it does. Do that? I mean, are you
okay
by prayer, by chanting, by, you know?
None. Okay, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Our genes are like foundations in our body. They're like bricks, and we get to build our lives any way we want. We have the ability to turn on positive genes and to turn off negative genes. And we do that by our belief systems, by our attention, by our mindfulness, and our lifestyle. So when I bring a client back from a journey, we release the negative energy. And there's a variety of techniques you can do to, you can use to do that. And then I reset their energy field with a series of techniques that I use. I use symbols. I use affirmations. I use a meditation technique to reset the energy in their mental field, their physical field, and their emotional field.
So is this something that can be done in one shot, like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, or is it going to take time and processes?
Well, I have a 30-day resetting technique that I use after I do an ancestral lineage clearing. And so when I bring the energy back, it takes 30 days to set it into your field.
Will I feel differently? Do the clients physically feel different?
Well, I had a client who had had high blood pressure for decades. And, you know, he did everything the doctor said, you know, was slim, exercised, had a good diet, couldn't get his blood pressure down. We did an ancestral lineage clearing. Within 3 months, he had reduced his high blood pressure medication by half and expected to be off his blood pressure medication in another 3 months.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So go ahead.
How long has it taken you to develop and master this process?
I've been doing this about 16 years now, and I have to say it took me about 3 years to refine it, and I got really good in about five.
Good for you.
And that was that basically was more about my confidence level, my trust in the ancestors, and developing my expertise. And I have to say, I can tell you, your ancestors love you. They want to help. They want to heal the mistakes that they made and help you live a life of joy and happiness and abundance. And they want all of their descendants to live full and rich lives.
That's really cool.
Sure as hell hope so. Not to sound ungrateful or nothing, but you know, I think that's what you want.
I would think so.
Okay, so tell us about epigenetics. Epigenetics.
Epigenetics is the science that explains why this works. And it explains how we can turn our positive genes on and our negative genes off. That's what my second book is all about. It's the science behind why ancestral healing works. Because indigenous people have been doing this for thousands of years. And it's how we make those changes in our brains and in our bodies, how we prevent and reverse genetic damage. And some simple techniques that you can use are, number one, meditation.
Meditation.
Is that our signal to go?
That's our signal. That's the
You have a minute and a half.
That's the polite way for the producer saying you got a minute.
Okay. Regular meditation prevents and reverses damaged DNA. So that's the number one recommendation that I have. Other than that, go check out my books.
Check out your books. And where can they find out your books, your website, and everything else about you?
AncestralLineageClearing.com is my website. I'm also on Facebook at Ancestral Lineage Clearing. I'm on Pinterest, and I also have a Facebook page at Ariane Thomas.
Ariane Thomas, thank you very much. This has been great. It's been great having you on here today. And thanks for the voice.
Thank you so much for the voice.
That's great. I love that. All right, it's been a great show, hasn't it?
Awesome.
I hope you enjoyed it too, everybody, because we most certainly did all this. Yeah, I did too. I did. It was great stuff.
I feel smarter.
I do too.
And more enlightened.
Okay, it's your turn now. You got to close.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Look up and I see. Stars out tonight. Look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear.